On our show, we love kids. If a kid shows up with a shoebox full of baseball cards, we'll take it.
I got it at the Tucson local swap meet.
A swap meet? What'd you have to swap to get?
This was my great-grandpa's when he was a kid. Then when he got too old,
there's an old saying, never use animals or children in production. And for us, it's really the opposite. It works very well. Either one.
What do you think it is?
Harley Davidson.
And how do you know it's a Harley Davidson?
Kids with old stuff just makes for great television.
Yeah, no, like there's some serious collectors between like 5 and 10 that are like legit into it.
I think it came from the 1920s or 30s.
Probably a little bit earlier.
So I decided to ask my colleagues for their all-time favorite child guests.
There was a kid in San Antonio with the sneaker display thing.
I can picture a little kid with like an airplane.
Young lady who had a rug, I believe it was.
And of all our antiquing prodigies from years past, there were two that rose above the rest.
You know, the kid with his mind blown, he goes, "Pah."
A lot of people mentioned this kid.
Obviously the kid who did the mind exploding,
you know, exploding head guy.
He's actually a bit of a regular.
He just loves the show. He's come several times without us having to help him.
I think he's definitely going to be an Antiques Roadshow appraiser just for the sheer fact that he comes to so many events. Like, he's networking.
The second kid we can call the thrift store girl.
The little girl who was trying to say thrift shop, remember her?
Flea markets. We like to go to the thrift store instead.
Oh, the thrift stores.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
she was on our show over 20 years ago, back in our third season. But people still remember her.
Oh, I have my favorite, definitely.
All right, good.
It's super old. The blonde girl.
She likes to go to the thrift shop.
Yes.
That's the one.
I love her.
There's a reason these moments stand out to so many people in our team. It's like we captured a little piece of this kid's childhood, broadcast it to the world on TV, and now they're with us forever.
Yeah, they really are. And I often think about them, which is kind of weird, about how their lives are now.
My question exactly. So I found out. Oh my God, Stephen, you're old now. What happened?
Yeah, what 10 years does to you.
I'm Adam Monahan, a producer with GBH's Antiques Roadshow, and this is Detours. Today, the Roadshow kids. Where are they now? The Atlas Obscura podcast is your definitive guide to the world's hidden wonders. A village in India where everyone's name is a song. A boiling river in the Peruvian Amazon. A spacecraft cemetery in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Every day, the Atlas Obscura podcast transports you to a real place in the world that will surprise and amaze you. Like and subscribe to the Atlas Obscura podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Funding for Detours comes from American Cruise Lines, proud sponsor of Antiques Roadshow. On an American Cruise Lines journey along the legendary Mississippi River, travelers explore classic Southern estates, Civil War battlefields, and historic American towns. Aboard their fleet of modern riverboats, you can experience local culture and cuisine and relive American history. To learn more, visit AmericanCruiseLines.com. Ancestry can help you discover your origins, build a family tree, and search historical records, giving you more ways to learn about your family's past and connect over their stories. Visit Ancestry.com to learn more. We'll begin with our more recent child star, who first appeared at one of our events in Richmond, Virginia in 2013. David Weiss was the appraiser.
You must be the youngest collector that I've seen.
I think so.
How long have you been collecting?
Well, I've been collecting for about 2 years.
2 years?
Do you remember this appraisal at all?
Oh, I do. I remember it quite well. Very interesting kid, I guess you'd have to say. Very well spoken, very articulate.
So you find stuff at little auctions, then what do you like to do with it? You like to keep it?
I like to sell it online.
You like to sell it?
Yes.
So you think...
And he seemed to have a good eye as well.
So he might take your job someday. Are you all right with that?
He might, yes. It's an actual threat. Who knows?
So the kid's name is Steven. In the appraisal, he's wearing a plain red T-shirt that looks extra plain across from David in his shiny suit and green tie.
So what'd you bring today?
Steven is about 10 years old, and he's brought with him a watercolor painting he bought at an auction with his dad.
I found it at an auction down in South Jersey.
Okay.
So hot there, but my dad didn't want to stay to get it, but I wanted to, so we waited an hour or so. We got it for $2.
$2? So you wanted to stay, and it paid off, because you only paid $2.
I think so.
And of course, the most memorable moment of the appraisal comes at the very end, when David tells Stephen what his $2 painting is actually worth.
Today, if your Albert Neuhuis watercolor came to an auction, it would probably sell for between $1,000 and $1,500.
Whoa.
Stephen's eyes get real wide. He holds one hand up next to his head and goes, mind blown.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not bad for $2. So I think you've got a great career going as an art dealer. You should keep at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it in. It's nice to meet you. So this, I think, was a good find for you. Have you made a lot of money selling?
I checked our database of old guests, and sure enough, there was a listing for a watercolor painting appraised by David Weiss in 2013. There was a phone number, too, which turned out to be for Stephen's dad, Frank.
Now recording, it says.
So before we get an update from Stephen, I figured Frank can fill us into how on earth he got his 10-year-old kid into antiquing in the first place.
Stephen, I made a deal with no phone until age 16. And then we will travel and we'll go to Antiques Roadshow. And you looked out the window and we drove and got a sense of direction and go to auctions and talk to people and me instead of focused on the phone. That's the secret.
Yeah. Stephen apparently thought this was a pretty good deal, which as the father of a 13-year-old, I find stunning. But hey.
Yeah, so every Saturday morning, there's yard sales around. So I wake up bright and early at 6 a.m.
Here is Stephen today.
And we just travel around South Jersey, and there's also auction night, so there's a few auctions around here.
Do you remember how old you were when you got into all this?
Oh, he started me out young, so I was going to the auctions probably since I was like 4 or 5, just by his side, got my big wide eyes open, just taking in the scenes around me.
Were there things that you gravitated towards? Like, you brought in a painting, but I didn't know if you were into paintings or were you into other things too, or...
So we started with artwork. He taught me his artwork and stuff. And then I was little, so I liked the shiny stuff. So I actually started with sterling silver, too. So they'd always have big, like, boxes, like, silver-plated, like, flatware and, like, dishes and bowls. And I'd just sit down and go through every single piece there. And I learned about all the different markings and hallmarks. And no one would take the time to sort through these boxes, but, you know... 10-year-old me with nothing else better to do would just sit there and, you know, take my little magnifying glass and figure out all the markings on this stuff. And then I started learning the international silver marks. So I started looking at 800 silver, British hallmarks, there's Russian silver hallmarks. It's different for every country. And you get the advantage over everyone else because no one knows those markings.
What would you do with it? Like when you got a little kid, like who had silver?
I mean, I just kept it. I like looking at it. I'd shine it up, you know, and then I'd sell once in a while. I'd sell some, but silver is pretty low right now, so I'm holding on.
So tell me about the pick that you brought to our show. Where did you find that one?
That was one of my first like big buys. I found that at the local auction. That was literally down the street from my house. So they always did like house clean outs. And people would just like bring stuff from an estate that they just wanted to get rid of. And, you know, we live in rural South Jersey, so no one's really buying like fine art. They're all buying like tools and lawnmowers and stuff. So I saw this painting on the wall. I was just looking at it. I was like, this is nicer than everything else that was there. Okay. And I just gravitated towards it. And it was $2. I couldn't resist the price.
Stephen's dad gave us a little extra insight on that bargain price.
All the old guys, nobody would bid against them. So he always got everything for $1, $2. Like if somebody bid against them, they like got frowned upon.
That's a great technique.
$2 deals.
Unfortunately, it sounds like Stephen's appearance on our TV program changed all that.
Somebody did a newspaper article. They posted it up. And after that, it was over for him. He couldn't buy nothing. Now that they're watching everything he's buying, you know, now they know he knows what he's doing. The gig was over. You know, so.
you gotta go get another younger kid.
Yeah. So now, you know, even about a month ago, some auctioneer was looking at him. He goes, "Are you that kid from Roadshow?" You know, and he tells all the people in the crowd, that must be worth $1 million. He's bidding on it. He was on TV. And I'm like, oh, geez. You know, it's like the cover was broken. And so now I have to do the bidding.
So it may be that Stephen's first big bargain was also his last big bargain. But I don't think he has any regrets about the painting.
Yeah, and I still have it too. That was the one thing that I kept. It's pretty sentimental to me since, you know, it got me on TV.
Oh, nice. So where are you in life now? Are you, you're in high school, I imagine, about to go to college, or what's up?
Yeah, I'm a senior in high school. Still haven't decided where I'm going to college yet. So I want to do a pre-med track of some sort. But I definitely take what I've learned over the past decade and put it into like a business degree or something.
Yeah, that's great. You'll be the only college student with a piece of fine art.
Yeah.
Keep it away from
200-year-old Dutch watercolor painting.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out for your roommate.
Yeah, perfect dorm room decor.
Yeah, awesome. I actually had to get Stephen back on the phone because somehow I forgot to ask the most important question of all. I forgot to ask you about this. Did you have that planned?
No, it's the trade. I've been doing it forever. It's the trademark poof, you know?
It's a little kid thing.
Yeah. Don't do it anymore, but I used to do it all the time.
Well, you may not do it anymore, Stephen, but to me, you will forever be the kid whose mind was blown. After the break, we circle back to a child who we last saw 23 years ago to find out what happened to her collecting hobby. The second appraisal we're talking about actually predates my time on the show, and it features one of our very first appraisers, John Hayes. It's fun to talk to you because you were one of the original people to join our show. When we started years ago, you were on season one.
That's correct.
And what was it like back then?
We started the first show in Concord, Massachusetts.
Okay. It makes you look more professional.
Look at the camera a little bit? Yeah,
you can adjust the camera.
We opened the show at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was over by about 9:30 in the morning. It was a very slow start.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, great. Right.
And of course, by the time we got to Pittsburgh, it was a madhouse and a huge success.
It's been handed down in the family. This is fifth generation.
Asphalt came to me by way of a lady who was in Queen Victoria's.
Who was the governor of Maryland during the Civil War.
Pittsburgh was the first stop for season two, after the show had aired and people actually knew what it was.
My husband and I bought it. My father was
in the construction business and collected antiques.
And there were no tickets to the show. People just showed up. People used to sleep on the sidewalks out in front of the convention centers where we had those first shows.
I came across this old tin type.
When he passed away, they had an auction.
Literally, they would drive from all over and park, and I saw families sleeping in their station wagons.
My mother took me to town, and I bought the teddy bear for myself.
And it was, you never knew what was going to come out of those cars those early days. Very exciting.
One of those early appraisals was with a 9-year-old girl named Laura.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I'm from Plainville, MA.
And tell us why you're here today, Laura.
How could you forget that appraisal? How could you forget that girl? At the time, I had a 9-year-old daughter who's obviously now 30. And for me, it just made me realize the impression the show had on adults, but children as well.
And tell us why you're here today, Laura.
I'm here to get this picture appraised.
Right. And tell me how you found this picture.
The painting Laura brought in is of a woman sitting on a couch. It's undated and unsigned, which makes it a little difficult to appraise. But Laura knows some tricks of the trade.
Signature is there. So how do you think we'd identify the age of this picture?
Well, you would look at, like, the back and the detail of it and the way the person dressed and the couch that she's sitting on and the jewelry she has.
That's exactly right. And I was struck by your little description that you gave us because, in fact, that's exactly the way appraisers value and date things.
I know, because I watch this show all the time.
You watch people...
And I think that the fact that... having a girl that age at home probably helped you deal with it, because you worked so well together. Your conversation was like that of two people, like a normal conversation, which I think is kind of hard to achieve.
So I think you all, what you're saying is you enjoyed watching a 9-year-old show me up. That was that's basically what happened there. I realized I was just riding the wave.
Glad to have them painted.
I think she wasn't really that rich because usually the rich people would have all this jewelry on.
She's like, you didn't even mention the background's plain, and it would have a fancy background if it was a rich person.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Where did you go to school again? Because really, I had a...
As it turns out, the painting, which Laura and her mother found in a dumpster, is almost 200 years old and worth $2,000 to $3,000.
That's a lot of money. I thought it was worth like $100, $150.
Well, it is a lot of money, and it's a great find. And keep looking for those antiques.
I will.
And thank you for watching The Roadshow.
You're welcome.
Now, it was very humbling, very genuine, authentic. And, you know, where is she now? Maybe she's running an art firm right now.
Do you remember being on TV as a kid? Was it a big deal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was so excited. I remember the things that I thought were super cool as a kid was going into the green room because I felt like a VIP because they gave me this laminated green room card, which I think I still have somewhere. The other thing I really remember was, you know, the person who did makeup. I thought it was so amazing that she had done Bill Clinton's makeup. So I thought I was just like, you know, like a celebrity. And I just remember being really excited to be on TV.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like a dream come true.
Well, maybe you could, you can get rid of the rumors here. You weren't from Central Casting. You're really just a cute little girl from...
The funny thing is I've had people recognize me even like as an adult. One of my college professors who loves antiques goes, I got to ask you, were you on Antiques Roadshow as a kid? That was really funny that he recognized me. Even, you know, years later.
These days, Laura works the overnight shift as an emergency veterinarian.
I work with cats, dogs, and pocket pets. So birds, hamsters, guinea pigs, basically anything that can fit through the door, we'll see it.
She can now say thrift store, no problem. And she has some even bigger news.
So I'm having a baby in June, which I'm really excited about. My first child with my high school sweetheart. That's exciting.
Did he get together with you because he knew you were on our show?
No, but he and his family loved when they found out I was on Antiques Roadshow. You know, he made everyone watch it, of course, and they all made fun of me with my lisp and speech impediments back then. But no, he enjoyed it for sure.
So you're having a baby. Do you know what you're having?
It's a girl.
Oh, my goodness. Are you going to take her antiques hunting and jump into dumpsters with her and all that?
Maybe. We'll see. Or maybe her grandmother will take her on those adventures.
And you will please show her Antiques Roadshow with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She'll get to watch it.
Of course, I had to share the news with my buddy Jill, the one who had suggested we follow up with Laura in the first place.
Babies.
Isn't that crazy?
I thought that was yesterday. I can't even believe that.
And what about the painting itself? Will it still be around for Laura's baby to enjoy?
This is the only time I ever went into a dumpster, ever in my life. Let's make that clear.
Here is Laura's mom, who climbed into a dumpster to rescue that painting and still holds on to it today.
So when we went on Antiques Roadshow, I thought, well, you know, this lady belongs somewhere. Maybe someone will watch the show and want her back, and that would be fine. But it's been many years and nobody wanted her back, so she lives with us.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad that somebody would throw away something like that when obviously it's pretty old.
And it's somebody's relative. Even though she's ugly, she's still somebody's great-grandma, you know.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I keep it in the closet. I figure if somebody goes really broke, we have some, you know, something to sell. But in the meantime, I would give it back to somebody, you know, if it needs to find a home.
So give that appraisal a watch and let us know if the painting looks a little bit like your great-grandmother. As always, you can tweet us at RoadshowPBS. Oh, and if you have adorable children between the ages of, say, 7 to 13, please bring them to our events. They really do make for great television. Detours is a production of GBH in Boston and PRX. The show is written and produced by Ian Koss. Our assistant producer is Isabel Hibbard. And our editor is Galen Beebe. Jocelyn Gonzalez is the director of PRX Productions. Devin Maverick Robbins is the managing producer of podcasts for GBH. And Marsha Bemko is the executive producer of Detours. I'm your host and co-executive producer, Adam Monahan. Our theme music is Once in a Century Storm by Will Daly from the album National Throat. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.
GBH.